Okay, right now as we speak, Hurricane Milton is pounding Tampa Bay. It has allegedly been reduced, downgraded from 4 to a Cat 2. But nonetheless, the amount of moisture, the upset in the atmosphere, the tornado, over 100 tornadoes reported on the other side of Florida, actually, on the leading edge of this whole storm front. So it's a big story happening right now. And we thought we'd bring on, without question, in my view, the world's number one, the foremost expert on climate engineering and the control of our weather systems and all the horrible things that go on with that. And believe me, there are many. Dane Wigington, geoengineeringwatch.org. He's a friend and a neighbor, so to speak. We're not far apart. And Dane has been on the program for many years now. He is, again, contributing mightily to our understanding of how this planet is being messed with by people who should not be entitled with anything to do that to anybody. They're crazy. They're nuts. Hello, Dane. Welcome back.
Good to be with you, Jeff. Can you hear me okay?
Yes, sir. Loud and clear.
Yeah. This is. I think in all the years you've been banging his drum as well. And I think right now in this window, because they've been so blatant at engineering Helene,
yeah.
and now we have Milton, and we recorded that, as you know. We recorded the next rad frequency transmission manipulation of Helene. We did with Harvey.
Yeah.
We did with Ian. But now we've reached a critical mass. I mean, the amount of communications we have coming in, and my communications with congressmen from the Carolinas, from Connecticut, from Tennessee. I've had extensive communications with all of them. We're supplying the materials. They all know this is going on. I don't think they're going to plug this leak in the dam, Jeff. I think we're there. It doesn't mean our problems are over. They're just beginning. But I think the cat is out of the bag.
The cat two or the cat five or whatever it happens to be.
Well,
yes.
In that case, yes. But you saw how Milton, it spun up much stronger, much earlier than they originally scheduled. And that
yes.
is the word, scheduled. And did you see how it hooked down a little bit toward the Yucatan? It took
yep.
a little bit of a southeasterly trajectory, and they blasted it with the transmitter. We recorded that, the transmitter in Cancun. There's a massive transmitter in Cancun.
Oh.
And they bumped it back on track.
Uh-huh.
And that's why you don't see them spinning up. They try to knock them down from full strength until they're close enough to land to manipulate with the land-based transmitter networks. They're much harder to control once they spin up that big, and it looks like that's what happened with Milton. So, again, any notion that they're not completely intervening in these storms, manipulating these storms, is simply a naive notion at this point. We can speculate on the agendas and objectives being carried out, but they are absolutely manipulating these storms. It's not the spawning of the storms.
No, it's beyond. It's inarguable now. You can't discuss it. It's a done deal. It's a fact. Weather is controlled. It's manipulated. It's created, and it's directed. Simple. And you've proven that so clearly.
Anybody who looks, I hope your listeners can, if they go to geoengineeringwatch.org and look at steering Hurricane Helene, 90-second video, you don't need to know anything about meteorology. You can look at that and see the uh-huh. absolutely inarguable interaction of the repelling effect of the land-based frequency transmitter network that can repel that air mass, and they de-energize in front of the storm, whatever trajectory they want it to follow, they de-energize in front of it, and they energize on the sides or behind to push it in whatever direction they want it to go, and they
right.
leave a clear path in front of it. So you'll see a de-energizing in front of where they want the storm to go. And we're recording the same thing right now with Milton, exactly the same. We're recording
mm-hmm.
it with our data loops we have access to.
It's very interesting that they would, well, I'm not surprised, it would make sense. The Yucatan is a key player in the entire hurricane issue, so they would have a station there. I didn't know they did. Thanks for that. It's very interesting. They do this from ground stations, and I'm wondering, do they also use from satellites, possibly energetic weapons from there? You can call them dews, you can call them whatever you want. Do they do it both ways, from the ground and from above?
No way for
us.
No, we don't have. We don't have any data loop for that. The issue with anything orbiting is a power source. A ground-based unit has a power source. So we don't know of any power source that would be adequate to have the same impact as a ground-based transmitter that would have access to much more power.
Yeah. Lasers take a lot of power. It's just not up there. Understood. This whole thing, again, for anybody at this point, after this many years of the information you've been putting out and tangential information, if they don't understand, after looking at chemtrails since the late 80s or whenever they started, I remember from the mid 86, 87, something like that. If they don't get it, people, they're never going to get it. It's the data is overwhelming. The weather is being controlled. Did you know Robert Fletcher, Bob Fletcher? He was an early advocate of waking up that the weather was being manipulated with energetic devices. This is going back to when I first started in the mid-90s. I used to have Bob on often, and he was correct. They began in earnest with the weather in 1947, I believe it was, after the war. I'm sure they were messing with it during the war, but after the war, the whole thing really ramped up, and it's never slowed down. Never.
No, that's correct. We know there were beta testing during World War II, and there's indications that even in the Battle of the Bulge, which had a very profound winter storm scenario, and what we know about chemical ice nucleation now, and there's indications that storm was engineered as well. But the film footage we captured that's in the dimming, I think you've seen, Jeff, of the B-17s flying in formation, and really profound footage of one B-17 filming another. They're all, again, in formation, and one just shuts off that dispersion like it was cut with a knife. Did it fall out of formation? No. And these massive plumes that people assume is just was just a part of that combustion engine, that film footage proves that is not the case. And they would have had to do beta testing in World War II in order to deploy immediately after World War II, which they did.
You got it. The dimming, it's on Dane's site, geoengineeringwatch.org, and I think you can click on his name and go right there. The dimming, it's a must watch. It's one of the truly great landmark accomplishments of documenting the simple fact that evil people are playing with the weather. In fact, in many ways, they own the weather. What was it Lyndon Johnson said? When you control the weather, you control the world. I think that creep, I think that's what he said. Didn't he say that?
That's a very ominous film footage. You're completely correct. So my weekly broadcast at geoengineeringwatch.org, I'm up to 478 weeks in a row. And compared to what you do, Jeff, I mean, the amount of radio you do, I feel that's just a drop in the bucket. I mean, you've been at this so long, brother, and I'm so grateful to you for it. But the first 30 seconds of that weekly broadcast is a clip of the film footage. Lyndon Johnson stating...
That's right. That's where I've seen it. That's right.
Yep.
That's right.
We have the power to control the world's cloud layer then, and he who controls the weather controls the world. But the other factors in this, Jeff, obviously they're manipulating the cyclonic rotations. We can speculate about the agendas and objectives. The spawning of the storms, that's another issue. You can't prove they're spawning those storms, although if they... as they manipulate atmospheric pressure zones from different types of transmitters, that's an ionosphere heater transmitter like HARP, they create conditions that are conducive to the spawning of the storm, so they could have a hand in that as well. But they are steering them. We can prove that.
Yes.
But in addition to
your next RAD video is absolute proof, conclusive. You can't argue it. What else? What allegedly are all of these NEXRAD towers supposed to be for? What are they supposed to
be? They tell us weather monitoring. Now listen to this. So we have, I'm not sure if you caught our capture of the manipulation of Hurricane Helene, but it's a 90-second video. It's on the homepage of geoengineeringwatch.org. It's conclusive proof. On Instagram, where we posted that, and it was up to 200 and something thousand views in the first day before they took it down. And the debunking group for that video stated what we were actually seeing was untold trillions of birds. They said all those radar, perfectly circular flashes were untold quantities of birds lifting off and migrating. You can't make this stuff up.
Okay.
I mean, how desperate are they? Are they laughing it up behind closed doors? I mean, do people actually believe things like that? It's mind-numbing at this point.
Yes. People, sadly, and I think one of the biggest commentaries of our time on this planet has to include, without question, the literal, truthful dumbing down of the average American in terms of intelligence, their ability to question their environment, to think about what they're seeing, to process the data, to come up with their own conclusions. That's called proactive thinking in life. People don't do that now. They've been weaned over to and addicted to stimuli. All they do is look for something to get a few kicks of neurotransmitters from the brain, making them feel better. They're not proactive, Dane. They're reactive. Our culture generally is a reactive culture, of course, fed by and controlled by the screen. Screen addiction. Never seen anything like it. These poor people really have no clue about what's going on around them. Their reality is what they see. It used to be 21 times repetition, and people would accept anything as being real. I think it's much less than that now. 10, 12 maybe. Something like that. People are so easy to control. I'm not knocking people. I'm not mocking people. I'm just telling you. That's my view. Facts are facts. Pavlov would be on the floor rolling in disbelief. He wouldn't believe it, what they've achieved with screen addiction and more. Go ahead.
I'm with you, Jeff. It's absolutely mind-numbing. In fact, when you walk through a large box store, Costco, Walmart, and you see everybody filling their carts that seem to have no. You feel like you're in a They Live
movie.
You know, you're in the zombie apocalypse, and people have just no clue that this is so totally and utterly unsustainable. It's about to implode. In fact, at the transfer station here in Reading, and that's what they call where you take your trash, you dump it into a giant warehouse where massive wheel loaders are pushing around these virtual mountains of filth. How can anybody think this is sustainable? I was 8 years old my first trip to the quote landfill, which wasn't a landfill. It was a giant manor horn of trash that protruded up out of the valley with D8s pushing that mountain of trash around. And as an 8-year old kid, I thought, how in the world can this possibly continue? And it can't.
Yeah.
And it can't. And now at this point, to look up at the sky. And our sky's here in Reading today, and I'm near you, as many people might not know. I mean, we're, as you said, relatively close neighbors, but our skies here looked completely science fiction. How could you not notice it, that something is horribly wrong? These are not clouds, they're aerosol filth canopies, and nobody notices anything. Nothing.
No, they've accepted it as reality now. They're easy. They're pushovers. They don't question. They don't look up. They don't think. I'm not knocking it, because they've been saddled with an awful lot of handicaps, stress, financial grief, interpersonal grief, problems, and they want to escape. That's just a human reflex. It's sad, but it's true. And how do they escape? The screen. They go there and look for the ball game, or look for likes on their social media account, and they get a little endorphin rush and they feel happy. But that's not reality. That's not living life. It's just not. It's going through life reacting to stimuli. And that's what Pavlov did. That's what Edward L. Bernays did. That's what all the great mind control people, and I don't mean great in a positive sense. These are monstrous people. They have taken our species, dumbed it down, and made it so obedient and controllable now. And there are always many exceptions. But the masses, I have no real confidence in them anymore. As long as the ball game is on, and the Romans figured this all out, Dane, you know that. They called it bread and circuses. Feed them, keep them amused, and they'll be happy.
Bread and circus till the brutal bitter end, which we're on the cusp of right now. I will say, in the last week, we have been absolutely buried at geoengineeringwatch.org with non-choir large groups banging our door down, wanting to know about this issue. So there is a groundswell. Something has happened. That 100th monkey moment has happened with what's occurring in our skies. We're indeed late in the game, but we hope we can utilize this wave to push this issue out into the full light of day, finally. And that doesn't end our problems, and that's what most too many people think, that if we could just expose this and stop this, our life will go back to normal. We can take Caribbean cruises and week-long vacations to Disney World from now on. That's not reality. That's not going to happen. But if we can expose and stop this, allow the planet to respond to the damage done on its own, we could at least buy time. That's worth fighting for. And on that note, Jeff, have you felt how unbelievably intense the UV radiation is, especially given that we're past the equinox, we're in fall? It's incredibly intense here.
All right, let me tell all of you out there. I live in Southern Oregon, Dane's in Northern California, and I walked out yesterday and today especially to do some outside work, and I had a long sleeve pullover kind of a shirt on, and this has happened before, but now we're past the equinox, as you said. I had the classic, it stung my skin. It was going right through the shirt, and it stung.
Yes.
I'm not saying I was going to drop to the ground and scream, but it was not pleasant. It hurt, and that's no joke. Right through your shirt.
Yes.
Okay?
That's what he's talking about.
Oh, yeah.
That should scare the hell out of people. It should scare the hell out of them. And how they can seemingly not notice it is truly perplexing. And we're seeing trees, both deciduous and evergreen here, drop leaves because they can no longer take that radiation. And you see livestock in the morning, even when fall or in October, they're trying to find shelter and shade at 8 o'clock in the morning in the fall. I mean, how can people not know that that's wrong? It's absolutely wrong. The cows are hiding under the trees at 8 a.m. in October. This is what people don't understand. But if we take the collapsing ozone layer right now, and they're lying profusely about that, all they have to do is publish an article from the UN saying ozone layer is getting better, and people ignore everything you just described. They ignore the surface of their cars and other things that are too hot to touch, even in the fall. They ignore their senses, basically.
Right.
But if we had no other challenges to face, that one challenge alone is an extremely near-term existential threat. We're in the cusp of ozone layer collapse. Climate engineering is the core causal factor. And Jeff, communicating with another scientist I work with in Florida, we lost our NASA contract engineer that was doing our metering. He passed away. But we have a lot of data from him still. But we are seeing some signs that we may be getting X-ray on the surface now. That's the final spectrum of UV radiation, indicative of a functional ozone layer collapse, and we think we may be seeing some signs of that now. So,
this is not good. No. Just for fun, excuse the interruption. What is, just for our listeners, what is stinging my skin? What's burning on my back when I'm at the temperature 73, 74? It's fine. It's not too hot. Something is burning my skin. Now, we've talked, you and I, years about this, but tell our listeners what is causing that unpleasant stinging on my skin.
We have talked years about this, Jeff. We go back a long way. And
In fact,
let's bring this back to, I know, at least 10 years plus ago, when we first published our data on UV metering and the fact that we were getting UVC on the surface. Our website was taken down 8 times, 9 times in 3 days, and I called you. I called you to tell you the data we had, and you put me on immediately. You put me on the air immediately, to your credit, so that we could get the word out on that as fast as we could. And so that's how far back we go. And I think the power structure, the reason that they still grant us rope here, I mean, they could put a boot over your neck, my neck, anytime they want.
Right.
But they know that the majority of the population is so oblivious to anything.
Oh,
in
it's
their
game
world,
over.
Their surroundings.
They're not worried. You got it.
That's why they let us go. But the bottom line with UV, so your listeners understand, you have UVA, UVB, UVC, and then X-ray. We're told that 95% of incoming UV radiation is UVA, 5% UVB, no UVC. We're told it stops 100,000 feet up, and certainly no X-ray. What we're seeing, what we've been seeing for many years now with our metering, we're seeing on some occasions not 5% UVB, but 50 plus. The official UV metering, all official agencies, they only meter down to 300 nanometers. So you have from 400 to 320 nanometers, that's UVA. From 320 to 280, that's UVB. From 280 to 100, that's UVC. Below 100, that's X-ray. So they only officially meter down to 300 nanometers. That's only half the UVB spectrum. They don't meter any UVC, certainly no X-ray. So how can you disclose what you're not even looking for? And we know we're getting UVC down into the 270 to 60 nanometer range. That's very intense UVC radiation. That's killing plankton, killing insects, burning the bark off of trees, leaf foliage scorch. How can that not alarm people? Without a protective functional atmosphere, we're done.
I don't have an answer for you. I wish I did. I just have to look to the people, and it's just not there. They're not inquisitive. They're not asking questions. They've been saddled with enough grief, and the so-called education system here has made it so that they really don't learn anything much. They're just babysitted and pushed along. They got what they want. They've messed up the species. They've really ruined our culture and our entire mental competence. They've taken that way down with the screen addiction. Now, the UVB, I've heard you say 45%. I don't think I've heard you say 50%. That is a whopper. And I used to own, years ago, a tanning salon. Healthy exposure to UVB. I'd go once or twice a week myself. And we had, as a regulatory figure, I think it was 5 or 6% B. That was it. No more. Burn you. Now, if we're up to 50, that's probably the majority of what I'm feeling through my clothing when I'm outside. It's just going right through. And it stings.
It is. I mean, the ramifications are grave indeed. If we look at plankton alone, we have a recent
How much damage is it doing to the plankton? The oceans die without plankton. Okay. What are we talking about here? We die.
We die without plankton. Recent peer-reviewed study of the Atlantic measuring plankton 500 locations, 90% decline. 90.
Unreal.
It's a virtual crash. It's a virtual crash right now. And Jeff, have you seen, on this note, the largest cruise ship ever built was launched this year, the Icon of the Seas. It's called the Icon of the Seas. It looks like Disneyland. It's so big, you can't imagine it's a ship.
I'm going to pull this up and look.
Is this not the epitome of human insanity?
Of course.
And so are we going to cruise now on the dead oceans? In fact, we're hurtling toward what's called Canfield Ocean. And these cyclones churning through the Gulf are also being utilized to try to reduce some of the stratification that's occurring in the oceans, because Canfield Oceans, your listeners can look that up. Canfield Ocean describes lifeless, superheated, deoxygenated, stratified oceans, dead oceans. Oceans die, we die, we're done. And also Helene, now many factors with Helene, it was steered, there's no question, period. I mean, we've recorded that. And certainly many objectives being carried out. Some people think it's just to do with votes, which I would argue that may be some superficial part of some agenda, but there's much bigger agendas being carried out than just that, because the election system is completely rigged anyway. They don't care about votes. They can select whoever they want. But you have the Piedmont lithium mine. Piedmont was hemorrhaging hundreds of millions of dollars because the landowners were not cooperating. It was a massive roadblock. Piedmont had contracts with the DOD. The lithium is certainly sought after now, including by the Department of Defense. So that would certainly seem one logical potential objective. we have this factor as well. That moisture was chemically nucleated. So when we look at the surface departure from normal temperature maps for the entire lower 48 for that period of time when Helene made landfall, the entire lower 48 of U.S. was bright red of record high temperatures except where Helene went. Big blue spot of below normal, chemically nucleated. For those that are wondering, why are there so many baseball and softball size hail events? Because that cloud moisture is being chemically nucleated. It's being seeded with patented processes of chemical ice nucleation, and that's what creates those massive hailstones. And Jeff, you know, insurance companies are canceling everybody for hail. You know that, right?
No, I didn't know. Not everyone's. If so, they're excluding hail from their policy coverage. Hail.
Through all the hail-prone regions, yes, that is now new. That's exactly what's happening. Hail is destroying everything from massive commercial solar farms to houses to cars. And it's every large convective storm now is massive hailstones. And people don't even question that. How can they not question that? If your listeners search Lake Michigan ice balls, Lake Michigan ice balls, and look at the 75 basketball size.
Oh, you sent me the pictures. I couldn't believe it.
Yeah, I
was stunned.
Yeah. So, you know, Jeff, what we're going to focus on at Geoengineering Watch is pointing out that the journalists that participate in the cover-up, that publish articles that try to marginalize anybody who dares to discuss the climate engineering issue, we want them to be known to the public by name. We want the public to know who they are. And that, why would we think, once the public is awakened to this issue and knows their part in the part they played in the criminal cover-up of this issue, why would we not think that the public could hold them morally and legally accountable? And they should.
Well, I think the answer is that the public is just not morally accountable in and of itself anymore, generally speaking. It's just not. Look, let's be frank. When porn was forced into the consciousness of our culture and our society, that pretty well cut the legs out from most everything of substance. It just destroyed it. Porn is one of the biggest and most underrated catastrophic developments ever hurled at us. And I'm no prude. I'm just telling you that's a fact. You tear that down and you tear out the foundations for an awful lot of things that were very good and lasted for centuries. Kindness, concern, that this is depravity. And they're marketing it and pushing it. And now it's in elementary school textbooks. Perversion. Come on. And we are, by our silence, we allow. We are not standing up. We have no Congress. We have no government. We have nothing. And except people who will indulge themselves in these horribly, they're not even frivolous, they're satanic pastimes, all kinds of them. We're in trouble. We're in not just climate trouble, which will end it all anyhow, and may well, but we are as a culture, as a species, we're in deep trouble. And I say that with full intention, because the COVID injections and the COVID virus, both bioweapons, are designed to cull the herd. And they are depopulating the planet. They're doing it slowly. They're doing it quietly. They're doing it on multiple different venues in the human body. And they can put anything from he had a heart attack. Oh, he had a brain tumor. Anything they want, they can put on a death certificate. So we don't know how effective these shots and this virus, and yes, there are viruses, dear friends, are being. And I think they're being far more effective. You got a 3 to 5 year window, and the vax injured are not, no vax injured people that I know of are getting better. And I don't want to dwell on that because it's pretty damned ugly, but it's the truth.
I'm with you on that point. And have you noticed that there's a sort of dysfunctional behavior with so many? We noticed that with
you got it.
Different
you got,
entities
you just
we
put
work
your
with.
Finger on it. You got it.
Yeah, they're becoming dysfunctional.
The spike protein in the injections is absolutely upsetting a normal, stable personality. I'm being polite here. It's ruining a lot of people's personalities. Let's just be more frank. And it gets into the brain and it does damage. It gets into the heart. It gets into all the major organs. It bothers you from head to toe. Every single cell in your body is potentially co-opted and taken over by the MRA and instructions and the resultant production, nonstop production of the spike protein, which is horrific in and of itself. And that's just two of the main factors involved in this reduction in human species. And that's what they're doing. They want to get rid of 80% or 90%. That's their ideal. They want a feudal, feudal society again. They want the elite. They want the servant class. Now they're going to have a tech class to maintain their computers and their AI. But they'll control everything unless there's some kind of intervention that I can't even imagine right now, frankly, coming along to take the power away from these evil bastards. They are horrible. When I saw the beginning of the injection of little children, 3, 4, 5, 6 years of age, with these deadly so-called vaccines, the war on childhood and children was fully underway. No normal human being would ever do that. This is pure satanic evil. And that's the kind of enemy we're dealing with. And people just can't or won't face it. They just can't. I understand that. But it doesn't change the net result, and that is dead people, ruined people. And your point about personality changes is crucial. It's affecting people from simple shedding in ways that they would never understand. They're not the same people. I can't tell you how many emails we've gotten. My mom's not the same since she got those shots. My boyfriend, my husband, my child, whatever. People are being changed by these things. No question. Anyway, I'm going on too long. Go ahead.
No. I'm with you 100%. And whatever plans that those in power have, and I agree they have many agendas and objectives, but none of that will reach fruition on the current course. When the planet stops supporting life, game over. The agendas and objectives mean nothing at that right. point. All other causes and concerns mean nothing. And on the current course, no one gets out alive. And that's what's critical for people to understand. That's the bitter pill that no one wants to hear. But it's if true. They face that fully, if they again, it's back to the analogy I often give of standing on the freeway at rush hour. Should you turn your back to traffic and think happy thoughts and hope for the best? Or should you face traffic and do your best to dodge and maybe right. make it to the side of the road? And I would argue, of course, that's the path. And any one of us, and this is the epilogue at the end of the dimming. And I think you've seen this, Jeff. The last 5 minutes was what the godsend of an editor. He took those statements I'd made from years of my weekly update, and he compiled that into what I wanted to say to the world. In a nutshell, this is it, that any one of us could be the final pebble that triggers the landslide of awakening. And if we can do that, no matter how dark the horizon, who knows what may yet be possible, at least for some, to make it through what's coming. And isn't that worth fighting for? Every single moment of our life, if some can make it through what's coming and learn from the horrific off-ramp the human race has taken toward self-annihilation, if we can learn and grow and someone can make it past that, isn't that worth fighting for till our final breath? I would argue yes.
You absolutely are on the money. There's another thing that human nature does on its own, and this has been enhanced and developed to horrific levels. It's called denial. People just don't want to take on anything, and they project it on others. Well, it's going to happen to them, not me, until it does happen to them. And boy, are they then aware. They've learned. They've learned the hard way. It's very difficult to reach out and communicate without equal access or some access to the so-called mainstream media platform. I can't look to the internet to do that on its own, because most of the alt news world and the internet is now co-opted and corrupted. It's been taken over. It's just about as bad as the mainstream media in some respects. No joke. And many of the biggest names in the so-called alt world of news believe me, are not their own masters. I'll leave it at that. They are answerable to another power, and they are controlled.
They are. At face value, for so many, the majority, to somehow believe that because they've seen too many futuristic sci-fi movies that we're going to tech our way out of what's coming or what's already unfolding, that's a very naive notion. And again, what I would say, and I think of Scott Peck on the Road Less Traveled, the hallmark of a healthy mind is an unyielding willingness to face the truth, no matter how dire. And I would argue that's the only place that solace lies. You don't hide things psychologically in the closet. You face them head on.
No,
I agree. You face them head on.
Denial is what's one of their biggest assets that they've mined, and they've cultured, and they've grown it in people. It's denial. It's it's not me. It's the other guy. Or they just can't believe that they've grown up with this screen, which is like God's eye. And it's not really God, but let's just call it God's eye for fun. Whatever is on that screen has a de facto instant legitimacy to it, or it wouldn't be on the screen. That's how people think. It's a reflex. They're not actually thinking. It's subconscious. It's on the screen. It's got worth. Or it wouldn't be there. Our government wouldn't allow that. No, wrong. It's the mechanism of control. It's the screen. I've no doubt. And then if you look at the diet of the average American, they're literally dying. They're killing themselves. The food has no nutrition in it. You got to be on your toes to make up that nutritional deficit that most food contains now. There's nothing there. Well, it may look all right. The soils are dead and empty, as Dane's been reporting for years. And all of these chemtrail chemicals, what do we got? We have bromide, aluminum, strontium, and anything you can imagine, being put in these trails. And it all goes into the soil, into the groundwater. It's taken up by the plants, and you get to eat them. Okay? Not to mention breathing it on the way down. So we're just being really roasted alive, and few people are screaming about it. I wish more were. It's sad.
You're correct, Jeff. Though aluminum, barium, strontium, manganese, polymer fibers, surfactants, graphene, what biologicals we can't know unless we know exactly what we're looking for. Yeah, and I do this people's willingness to poison themselves with their diet. It's when you see a carton in Walmart or Costco full of potato chips, Twinkies, and Pepsi.
Junk.
You know,
junk. They're addicts. They're it's tragic. Let me make a quick commercial plug here. For all of you who may be new to the program, Bio Superfood, there's a banner on the site, Bio Superfood and Allison C. are the two most important things I can recommend. Allison C. is the world's most effective, broad-spectrum, all-natural antibiotic. It's all natural. It's from Allison, from the organic garlic plant. And then you have Bio Superfood. Each little capsule made of the four most potent algaes in the world. Each capsule contains over 15,000 micronutrients that your body needs and rarely ever sees if you eat the Great American Diet. You take those Bio Superfood capsules, you will come back to life. Your body deserves it. And if you get sick with anything, the Allison C. Those two things, I'm telling you, are as good as I have ever seen in my entire life. So I didn't mean to get into that, but it's important that people know that there are things out there that work, they're viable, and they're actually, in my view, essential. And those are two of them.
They are essential. I completely agree. Isn't it profound how many people you see driving some shiny, polished, super expensive vehicle?
Yeah.
They wouldn't urinate in their gas tank, would they?
No.
But they do that to their own body. And again, the kind of preventative measures that, I mean, they're so careful with their cars, the type of fuel they put in it and the additives and this and that. But with their own bodies, they treat them in unbelievable contempt. And yes, those types of preventative measures, as you just outlined, profoundly important. And the medical industrial complex does not advocate for that, because they've been programmed not to, to deny the benefits of using these type of augmented.
Well, they're owned. They're co-opted by big pharma, big money, big business. It's all, hey, it's all about money, and most everybody has a price. Admit it, fine, or if you don't, I don't care. It doesn't matter. And if you won't pay the price or accept the bribe or the money, they'll bring in 100 people behind you that will. That's how they've done it. They've co-opted damn near everything. Sickening. By the way, I'm looking at the icon of the seas, and you are right. This is the ultimate in self-indulgent opulence on a cruise. Yes. I've never seen anything like it.
Yes.
Wow.
It's the Tower of Babel, and cruising on dead oceans, and I've been there. You know, this is, I've been to two Barrier Reef expeditions before it was completely obliterated. I've free dove around the planet at many locations. I'm so grateful for what I've seen, and it's so painful to know what I've seen no longer is. New Zealand, Fiji, Sea of Cortez, and so much
We've done it. We've destroyed it. We as a species, we are the custodians of the planet, supposedly. We've allowed control to be exerted upon almost every aspect of our lives now. We're not fighting back. Some of you are. You wouldn't be listening to this program. You get it. And you're the best audience in the world, and I mean that. You're the smartest, wisest, most observant people I've ever contacted. And I get email from you, and I want to thank all of you for the kind words. And I do get emails about the great Dane Wigington and his work, too, even here. So this is crucial. We're talking about a lot of things, and some of you may say, well, what about Milton? What about Milton? I don't know what's going on currently. It hit land at apparently Cat 3. That's the latest I have. It's working its way through the Tampa area and into the state. Here's a live, let's see what they're saying just for fun. Here's a live feed reporting on Hurricane Milton. Let's see what they're saying.
Drop when I'm inside, you think it's just that solid metal, and then to see things flapping.
Yeah, I mean, it's actually sort of, I don't want to call it a fabric, but it's sort of a structure that's designed to allow light through it. So it's so it's got those kind of metal beams or whatever, but that's sort of a translucent, I can't remember the material. Right. I was here when it was being built, and but it was kind of a novel concept at the time to try to use that so we could at least get some light through it.
There's a lot of things that are happening right now in the city of St. Petersburg. They're also responding to a water main break. Mm. They're having to shut off potable water service citywide, and that's going to start at midnight. So just about 30 minutes from now, midnight tonight, potable, so that drinking water is going to be shut off citywide in St. Petersburg because of this massive water main break already, the eastern part of St. Pete.
That wonderful fluoridated drinking water, full of garbage.
Jeff, now here, that kind of dissemination, and there, I'm not denying the damage being done.
Right.
But if we go back to Helene, what we were told was there was 140 mile an hour sustained winds on landfall. We couldn't find that. We couldn't find any ground based station. I'm not denying it did extensive damage, certainly much farther north, especially in the Carolinas, which I would argue was part of the agenda to begin with. But on the landfall itself, and we've seen this before, we can't find from the ground stations anything anywhere near what's being reported on mainstream media. We couldn't find 140 mile an hour sustained winds. They said the unsurvivable. Did you see the term they use? They all use the same terms because it's part of a script. Unsurvivable storm surge. Over and over we saw that with Helene. And 20 foot, they said. We couldn't find anything over 7 feet. So again, there's many different smoke and mirrors aspects of this. Some things sensationalized. Other things they try to sweep under a rug, like the decimation in North Carolina. So there's a lot of sleight of hand going on in both directions.
You said it right. It's scripted. Yeah. It's all scripted.
Yeah,
go ahead.
It is.
Yeah.
It's just in both directions. Some things are sensationalized far past what they actually were, and some things are downplayed and swept
They're
under
understated.
The rug. They were far
they know
yes.
what they're doing. Yeah.
Exactly. So, and the bottom line is, at absolute minimum, even if we pretend they're not steering these storms, and they are, patented hurricane suppression technologies have existed for decades at absolute minimum. They can make or break these storms anytime they want. And for people to go about their lives pretending this isn't happening, and isn't it interesting how people believe, they believe in weather modification, the publicized weather modification, a single-engine propeller-driven airplane with a few flares on the wings that can distribute maybe 5 kilos into a cloud. They believe that has an effect, but they don't believe that a KC-135 carrying 100 tons of toxic chemicals and particulates is going to have an effect. How does that make sense? We look at Project Cirrus in 1947, where they dumped 80 pounds of ice into a hurricane, a cyclonic rotation that seemed to have a profound effect on it, so much so that there was lawsuits pending. The U.S. military went underground with their operations at that point. But that small little intervention seemed to have a profound effect on that storm. How much more can they do now? How naive is it to believe that this isn't going on? And for those that think somehow the Big Brother government is here for their benefit, of them and their posterity, what an incredibly naive notion that is at this point.
Tragic, tragically naive, and ultimately will lead to the death of many people, one way or the other. There's no doubt. We have no government here. This country's been overthrown. It's being run by an international cartel. It's a regime of people who do not have our best interests in mind at all. In fact, they are involved with the genocide that's going on, the great genocide, and it's going to get worse. Have you noticed, of course you have, the war on food? I have 4 major stories today about food recalls. One is eggs, one is vegetables, one is prepackaged beef and chicken products. I forget what the 4th is. Maybe a second egg story, but they're going after the food and they're recalling things, telling you to throw them away immediately. Look, we know what's going on with the farm and Big Ag. Big Ag is not our friend. It's producing and serving to us food that is empty and useless or worse. And that's not to knock farmers. So some farmers out there are trying like hell to do good organic work. In your community, if you want to know where to get good food, find your local farmers market, support your local individual independent farmers. That's where you can get healthy food, if not grow it yourself. But you've got to be aware of what they're doing. And what they're doing on the big stage is nothing that's going to benefit you. It's simply taking from you and further conditioning you to be compliant. And that's the truth.
And all these things we've cited, and I'm with you on every point, Jeff, and for many people, because we've been trained as a society, as a culture, that you have to have a specific happy ending or don't try, don't apply yourself. And what a pitiful philosophy that is. Yeah. And I think of in The Lord of the Rings with Frodo and Bilbo, and Frodo stated that he wished he would have lived in a different time without these challenges. And Gandalf the Wizard says, it's not up to us to choose the time that we exist in. I'm paraphrasing, but what is up to us is what we do with the time we have. And what I would argue the most profound, unshakable solace comes with making the decision at our core to fully face the gathering storm head on without fear or trepidation, and to do everything you can to make a difference for the better. No one can take our will. No one, ever. I don't care what they do. They can put a gun at your head. They cannot take your will. That's the only thing that was given to us that is ours to protect, our will, our honor, our morality. If we guard that with everything we have, every fiber of our being, then the story ended well, period. No one can take that from you, and we should stand with that type of courage and fortitude. And if we do, if we collectively do, we could yet make a profound difference even at this late hour. That's the kind of mission, sense of mission we need to have, all of us.
Geoengineering.org. Go there. Watch the dimming. Understand. All of this is true. You'll see it explained for you by a panel of brilliant people. And it's absolutely must viewing. You have to understand what's being done to you. If you don't, you have no chance. None.
Geoengineeringwatch.org, Jeff. If I could connect it to Geoengineering Watch, we've got to put the watch on there or you won't find it. Geoengineeringwatch.org. No worries.
Yeah, geoengineeringwatch.org. Just click on Dane's name if you forget. You won't forget. Most of you go there regularly anyhow. Thank you, my friend. Very informative, very helpful, as always. Keep up the fabulous, heroic work you're doing, and you're making a difference.
That's team great. Effort, brother. Team effort, brother. Yeah. Appreciate you very much and all your listeners. Thank you.
Thanks, Dane. Good night.
Talk soon.
Dane Wigington, geoengineeringwatch.org, and no finer destination to go to find out what the hell they're doing to the planet via its climate. Back with you tomorrow. Thanks for being here. Take care. Talk soon.